I invite your attention to the book of Acts today, chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 23 as we continue our study of this book of Acts. Just want to remind you, I think you probably already know this, but this isn't just a Bible study so you know something, okay? Knowledge is wonderful, but the application of knowledge is the most important. And so as we study this, I want you to understand these were given for our examples, for us to take what the early church did, learn from what they did, apply it to where we are today, and use it for the honor and the glory of God. Let's stand as we look from Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today asking for your guidance and your understanding, Lord, as we look into your word. Open our hearts and our eyes, our ears. Teach us, Lord, your ways that we may learn and apply what we learn, that, Lord, we may live for your honor and for your glory. Lord, you know the needs and the lives of every person here today. I pray that you will move freely and that you will answer every spiritual need that's present in this congregation. For those watching at home, I pray, Lord, that you would meet their needs physically as well as spiritually. Father, we pray your will be done in this service. To you be all glory and praise and honor forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you were here last week, you know the background to what brought us to this point that we just read about. But the apostles had experienced, specifically, Peter and John had met a lame man on their way into the temple. And they healed that lame man. And it became a problem for the Pharisees, for the Sanhedrin. And the problem was they completely disagreed with everything that Peter and John did. But they could say nothing or do nothing against them because of the great miracle that had occurred. So they arrested Peter and John, and they threatened Peter and John and told them, do not preach anymore in the name of Jesus. If you do, we're going to get you. Now, that's not just I'm going to get you a mild warning. These were the guys who crucified Jesus. So when they threaten, they expect their threats to be listened to. So after they had been threatened, verse 23 in our text says that being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Now, I want you to understand that word companions, whatever translation you're using, I'm not sure about the other translations, but in the New King James Version, that word companions is in italics, meaning the translators added that for clarity and understanding. And sometimes they add things that really don't need to be added, in my estimation. I like it better as it reads in the Greek, and being let go, they went to their own. It's like I would say, I'm going to see my people. There's a bit of ownership there, a bit of relationship there. And now these guys being threatened, I'm sure they're a little nervous. Being commanded not to teach anymore in the name of Jesus, they go to their people. And their people just happen to be the New Testament church. That place where they could go. And they could tell everything that happened. As a matter of fact, verse 18 says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. That was the direction of the Sanhedrin. They told them you can do, and the idea here is you can do whatever you want to do. You can perform your miracles, but don't perform miracles in the name of Jesus. You can preach your message, but don't preach in the name of Jesus. Whatever you want to do, you do it. Just leave the name of Jesus out. So here comes Peter and John, and they come to their people, the church, and they give the report. Guys, here's what we face. We're threatened. We're told, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. We've got to determine what are we going to do from here. And I love their response. But before we get into their response, I want to stop and I want us to think about this for just a moment. Sometimes I think we have the mentality that the church, our people, look around. If you're a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, these are your people. But sometimes I fear that we look at the church as a place to go on Sunday. Even a place to serve maybe on Wednesday. But it's so much deeper than that. And let me tell you, okay? In order for you and I to fulfill the call that God has made upon our lives, here's what's got to happen at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. All right? We're going to have to get real. I'm going to say that again. We're going to have to get real and stop playing the church game, where we show up and we worship a little while and go home and not worry about it anymore until we come back next Sunday. That's the church game. That's not what church is about. See, church is about coming together and the spiritual support, the spiritual encouragement that we get when we're together. When Peter and John comes back and says, look guys, we're told we can't preach in the name of Jesus. You know what this church did? Man, they flocked to them and they hit their knees and they cried out to God on their behalf. When I say we've got to become real and quit playing the church game, here's what I mean. You see, when we come to church, we put on our church clothes. And we put on our church face. And we go into church and we want everybody in church to think we've got it all in order. My act is together. And we sing our songs, we give our offerings, and we go home. I want to throw something out that probably most of you do not realize. Most of you are messed up. People laugh. Nobody said amen. But you are. I am. I'm the world's worst. You see, I'm the pastor. I've got this image I'm supposed to maintain. I come to church and everything's all good with Brother Doug because I don't want everybody to know what's going on, right? That's not what church is about. Church is about being able to come together and say, guys, here's my challenge. This is what's standing in the way of me fulfilling God's call on my life. And when the church hears that, the church flocks together to come around that individual and pray for that individual. And show that individual that they're there for support. And I know Victory will do that. I want to take a test. Are you ready to be tested? Okay. You're going to be tested whether you're ready or not. So if you're ready to hear the need of members of Victory and come to their side and pray for them, I mean pouring out these requests before God, if you're ready to do that, would you please stand? Look around you. Look around you. Here are the people that have made the commitment to you this morning and say, come to me. Bring your cares to me. I'm going to come by your side. I'm going to pray with you. I might not can fix your problem, but I know the God that can fix your problem. You may be seated. That was the concept of the church family at Jerusalem. That's why when these guys were let go, they go to their church and their church comes to their side and lifts up their need before God. Oh, I love it. What a lesson for us to learn. What a great lesson for us to learn. We're going to put that lesson into practice tonight. Okay? Tonight's going to be a night of prayer. Give you a heads up. Come ready to pray. Come ready to hear the needs and come ready to lift up these needs before the Lord. Number two, we see the church's request. As I said before, they immediately pour out their hearts to God and look at the way they prayed. Okay? Number one, their request was very single-minded. When they heard the threats against Peter and John, they knew that they faced the same threats. And so they raised their voice to God with one accord. That word, the Greek one accord, means literally single-minded or single-mindedly. And what they were single-minded about is what they prayed for. Listen, verse 29, now Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all, what's that word? Boldness, we may speak the word of God. They're not praying for Aunt Martha's friend who has a sister whose cousin's son is sick. They're not praying, Lord, get me out of this circumstance. They're not even praying for safety. They're not praying for protection. They're praying for one thing, and that one thing is boldness to proclaim the word of God. You see, that's what God had called them to do. They were called to be witnesses. Listen, we ask people to pray for things. Oh, pray for my healing. Pray for my deliverance. Pray for my protection in whatever circumstance. Let me ask you this. What if it's God's plan and God's will for you to be where you are? But Brother Doug, I don't like where I am. But what if it's God's plan for you to be here? We have to admit, if we believe that God is on His throne, and He is on the throne, right? That God's in control of all things. And that nothing happens by accident. All things are orchestrated according to the plan of God. So instead of praying for things like, Lord, get me out of here, should we not be praying for things like boldness? That, Lord, while I'm in this circumstance, while I'm where I am, Lord, give me boldness that I may testify of the Word of God. That I may tell everyone that's in this circumstance with me what awesome Savior that Jesus is. Can you imagine if victory was so focused on one thing, and that's what the church at Jerusalem was at this point. Can you imagine if victory was so focused and so desirous that our prayer was for, Lord, give us boldness that we may speak your word in every aspect of our life. You understand, we're not talking about preachers here. We're talking about people who live from day to day to day and having the boldness, the openness to tell them about Jesus no matter what. Whether it's threats, whether it's belittling, whether it's mocking, whatever the case. See, their request was very simple. Lord, give us boldness. Their request was based on Scripture. It's really cool. They opened with the statement, Lord, you're God. Okay? First thing we learn there, when they say, Lord, your God, that's a statement of fact, meaning that God made everything and everything belongs to God. And since it all belongs to God, He has the right to do anything He wants to do. Amen? So whatever He does not need our approval or disapproval. Statement of fact there. They opened their prayer. Then they quoted Scripture. And they quoted Psalms 2, verses 1 and 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and the Lord's anointed. Now, if you want to look that up, it's Psalms 2, 1 and 2. Why did they put that in there? Because it's a scriptural foundation for their prayer. Okay? It is a scriptural foundation for their prayer. Just as in Psalms chapter 2, as the rulers took counsel together against the Lord's anointed, in Acts chapter 4, the same thing is happening. That's why they're quoting Scripture. Have you ever considered having a scriptural foundation for your prayers? Wait a minute. I'm talking about before you pray, whatever your request is, that you're able to go into the Word of God and say, right here's what they were going through, and here's what their prayer was, so that I know what I'm supposed to be praying. You see, people ask God for all kinds of things. I'm concerned that sometimes we think God is like a Santa Claus. We ask God for better jobs, new houses, pass tests at school, all kinds of stuff. And I'm not saying you shouldn't ask God for everything. But the problem is, are you listening? Are you listening? Okay. The problem is, most of our prayers have nothing to do with the mission to which God has called us. This prayer for boldness had everything to do with that church's mission. What is our mission? It's actually very simple. Acts chapter 1, 8, same mission that they had. It says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We are here to tell of Jesus. That's our job. That's why we're on this earth. When we go through the line at Walmart, when we're washing our car at the car wash, when we're here, when we're there, no matter where we are, why aren't we comfortable with talking about who Jesus is? That's our job. I'm not talking about standing on the street corner with a sign that says the world's going to hell. They look at you like you're nuts. Right? I'm talking about interacting with people and being so free with the name of Jesus that we work Jesus into daily conversations. That's what they're asking for. They know that everyone was not preachers, but everyone was called to testify of Jesus. Their request was selfless. Verses 27, 28 says, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together," and this is the big part, "to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done." You know what that's in there for? That's a reminder of what Jesus went through, and it's a reminder that what we go through is not always what we want to do, but it is what we need to do according to the will of God. You go back to Jesus, right? You remember His prayer in the garden. He prayed, "Lord, if it be Your will, what? Let this cup pass from me." Right? I mean, who in their right mind wants to be flogged and hung on the cross of Calvary and people walk by and mock you and all that? Nobody wants to do that. But when Jesus prayed, "Let this cup pass from me," He ended it with, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Same concept here with the prayer of the church at Jerusalem. They acknowledge what happened to Jesus, and they're literally asking God, "Okay, God, if this is what's required, it's okay. If we have to be put in prison, that's okay. Just make us bold. If we have to be crucified for the cause of Christ, that's okay. Just make us bold. Whatever your purpose is, Lord, we don't ask for You to change the circumstance. We ask that You make us bold, or grant us with boldness that we may speak the word." That should be, my friends, that should be our prayer. As I said, you know, we pray for so many things that have nothing to do with the reason that God has put us on this planet. "Lord, give me this, give me that." And I do the same thing. I pray for things simply because that's what I want. When in reality, how disrespectful that is to Almighty God. You see, it's not, the prayer should not be, "Lord, my will be done." The prayer should be, "Lord, Thy will be done. And whatever needs to happen, Lord, if I've got to be crucified, if I've got to face shame, if I have to face persecution, whatever needs to happen, that's fine. But Lord, make me bold." That was the prayer. That was the need of the day. And look at God's response. Absolutely love it. Verse 31. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness." You want to see God answer prayers? You start praying prayers that are not self-centered. But rather prayers that ask God for the power to do what He's placed us here to do. Three remarkable things happened there in their prayer. Number one, the place was shaken. Now imagine you're praying. And you're asking God for boldness. And I mean, you mean what you pray. This is coming from your heart. And all of a sudden, the place where you are begins to tremble. And you begin to shake because the place is shaking. You know what that reminds you? That reminds you of the power of Almighty God and the presence of Almighty God. You see, you start to understand when you're making this request and the earth starts shaking where you are, you're reminded, hey, God's still God. I don't have to, Matthew 10:28, I don't have to fear those guys who are threatening me. Matthew 10:28 says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And you're reminded, hey, I don't have to worry about them. I'm a child of the God of the universe. And if they kill me, if I lose my life preaching the gospel, then glory to God, there's been a place prepared for me eternal in the heavens that'll never pass away. You see, you have to look at it from the right perspective, as they did. We don't have to fear the circumstances. We don't have to be afraid to bring up the name of Jesus. We should not fear anything concerning the preaching of the gospel. We should fear our God when we fail to preach the gospel. The place was shaken. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that. You know, they're praying for Peter and John, but everybody says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because their prayer was bigger than Peter and John. They all needed this boldness. This wasn't a Peter and John thing. They all needed the power to speak openly about Jesus and share Jesus. At this point, I want to remind you today, sharing Jesus is not the pastor's job. It's the believer's job. Now, if the pastor's a believer, which he should be, he should share Jesus. But sharing Jesus is everyone's job. And you have to understand, you don't have to be that street preacher. You just have to be looking for the opportunity to speak of Jesus where you are. That's it. It's not that hard. And when God's people start speaking openly of Jesus, guess what? Our culture will change. Our state will change. Our country will change. As I preached last week, I think we fell for the lie that you're not supposed to talk about Jesus publicly. You know, that's a lie. You are commissioned by God to speak publicly of Jesus Christ. Then God answered their prayer. It says they all spoke the word with boldness. And I told you this last week, but I want to tell you this again. Are you listening? Are you listening? Say, we're getting to the end. I'm going to finish up here and we can go. But I need to know you're listening. Are you listening? Amen. You have to understand what boldness is. Boldness, the Greek word, literally means openness. Not offensiveness, not bitterness, right? It's not an avenue for you to jump on people and embarrass people and to beat them over the head with a Bible. That's not what boldness is. Boldness is being free to share Jesus with the atheist on the college campus. Boldness is being free to share Jesus with your next door neighbor. Boldness is being free to share Jesus at that club you're a member of. That's the point to boldness. My friends, when we as believers will take the Great Commission seriously, I can guarantee you this church will be trying to figure out where we can seat everyone. When we start talking about Jesus, people are going to want to know what's going on in this church. They're going to come. When we start talking about Jesus, people are going to start watching you and see that Jesus really does make the difference. Listen, we can talk about football. We can talk about basketball and our new coach hire and, you know, Razorbacks, all that good stuff. And I'm a fan also, just like everybody else, you know. We can talk about baseball. We can talk about golf. We can talk about all those things without fear. Yet, the greatest thing in the world is the message of a loving Savior who gave Himself as the sacrifice for our sins. And we know that He's the answer to what ails our country. We know that He can deliver from sin, yet we're silent. The greatest need that Victory Missionary Baptist Church has is to speak openly of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that one more time. The greatest need that Victory has is to speak openly for our members to speak openly of Jesus Christ in every situation that you find yourself in. Now, knowing that, I'm going to be open. If you're here today and you have never made a life commitment to Jesus Christ, let me tell you what Jesus did for you. You see, Jesus came to this earth as God in the flesh. He lived a life of absolute perfection, was without sin. And because He was without sin, He could pay your punishment for your sin. Now, I know you may not think I'm not that. You may say I'm not that bad a person. Maybe you're not that bad a person. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's them, that's me. And we have to address the sin. The good news is that the Bible says to repent. That means turning away from whatever it is you're trusting in, turning away from your sin, and turning to Jesus alone. In Jesus there is salvation. In Jesus there is purpose and reason to live. In Jesus, and here's the big part, in Jesus there's peace in a world that's gone crazy. Today, Jesus offers salvation to you. He says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's my openness for the day, to tell you about Jesus. Nobody can make this decision for you. You have to make it on your own. Will you choose Jesus today? Will you choose Jesus? If you're here, you know Jesus Christ today. The one thing I want you to take away from this message here today is pray for boldness. That God will open your mouth everywhere you are to speak the things of Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we praise You. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being called Your children. But we're reminded today of how much we fail of being open. Lord, we forget. Lord, we give in to pressure. Lord, sometimes we just fail. So, Lord, I pray for a new boldness among the membership of Victory. I pray for that boldness to permeate me. That wherever I find myself, Lord, I'm proclaiming our Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, in this invitation, I pray Your will be done. For those that are lost, I pray they come for salvation. For those that need to come for baptism, I pray they come. Rededication, Lord, whatever the spiritual need is, we just place this invitation in Your hands and pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.